in Jerusalem, which is what this story is all about. There's a couple little issues within this verse that we just mentioned. If you look back there, verse 28, this is the verse that's mentioned up here on the screen. A couple little notes as we go on. It mentions that it was early. One thing that oftentimes get lost in the shuffle of the whole crucifixion scene of Jesus is the timeline. We oftentimes think that Jesus was betrayed by the hands, or betrayed by Judas into the hands of the Gentiles, and then he was crucified a matter of hours later. In reality, that occurred the night before. This is the next morning when he's before Pilate. It was early. Most people put that right around 7 a.m., 8 a.m. And then, of course, Jesus would finally be crucified right around, I think around 10 or 11 a.m., and he would be on the cross until nightfall. And so the timeline of all of this happening, we tend to think, is very compacted. It wasn't. It was very spread out over the course of about a day total throughout the course of his crucifixion. Also, this little incident that mentions, he says that the Jews did not want to go into where Pilate was, into the praetorium, because they did not want to be defiled. What does that say about the Jews? They're willing to deliver him over to be killed, but they don't want to actually go into the praetorium themselves. What does that say about the Jews? Right, I think I heard the word hypocrite. Why were they hypocrites? Exactly. And that, I think, is a summary of the entire crucifixion of Jesus. They wanted it done, but they didn't want to have any part with it. And that kind of shows their hypocrisy. They were more than willing to crucify this person through the most gruesome means possible, but they didn't want to have anything to do with that. And I think that says a lot about the Jews here in this instance. When you look more about the issue of Pilate, and this is where we got here in John, the 18th chapter, starting there in verse 28 down through the end of the chapter. When you get into who Pilate was, there's a lot of things that are noteworthy about him that I think oftentimes gets overlooked. We start here in we already read verses 28 down through verse 32. That kind of gives a little summary of it. When you look at who Pilate was, he oftentimes gets a bad rap. We think of Pilate as being this, you know, this coward, this person who was indecisive, who just kind of threw Jesus to the crowd. And in a lot of ways, that's true. Pilate gets a really bad rap, primarily because of this type of scene right here, where he's washing his hands and then he delivers Jesus over to be crucified. But in reality, there was a lot more weight on Pilate than I think that we would be willing to admit. We don't want to give him an easy pass because he crucified Jesus. I'm not trying necessarily to do that. I'm trying more to understand the situation that he's in. When you look at all the things that Pilate had on his plate at this time, the Jews are vehement that they want Jesus put to death. That's what we just discussed, John chapter 18 and verse 31. They're not leaving this situation with Jesus still alive. They're determined that that's not going to happen. And keep in mind the situation that Pilate's in. Pilate is the governor of Judea, a very volatile, a very hate-filled region, a region that is very strategically located within the Roman Empire that connects the north part with the southern part if you don't want to cross the sea. And they had numerous run-ins with the Jews. Pilate wasn't some two-bit governor that just happened to be there. He was the best of the best, and the emperor put him in that location to keep this region under control. And so when Pilate is looking at this situation, you've got mounds of Jews, thousands of Jews that want this guy dead, especially the religious elite that want this guy dead, then Pilate doesn't really have a whole lot of options. He's in that location for that specific reason, to keep peace. These people hate him. That's the situation that you have. It's very easy for me now to make a political joke at this point. I'm not going to do that because I don't want to incriminate myself or anybody else. By the way, I had a lot of people ask me if I could let y'all know to vote for Ted Cruz on Tuesday. I'm not going to do that. You can vote for whoever you'd like to. I just want you to know that that's where people I came from, that's what they would like. But that's the constituency. That's what they want. They want him dead. That's the pressure that's on Pilate. You also have a more interesting section. Matthew 27 verse 19 brings up a little sub-story of this, where Pilate is debating with this decision, what am I going to do with Jesus? How am I going to handle him? And then his wife intervenes. What does Pilate's wife have to say? Does anybody remember Matthew 27, 19? I'm sorry? Right, I have a dream, and so what?
She had a dream that, I think that Jesus was innocent, that he was a righteous man.
I don't know about that specifically. I do know what she says in Matthew 27, 19, is I suffered greatly in a dream last night because of this man, and then eventually says right after that, therefore have nothing to do with him. And so not only do you have the Jews at this situation just wanting Jesus gone, you also have Pilate's wife that says, I don't want you to have anything to do with this man. Men, you can level with me on this. When your wife tells you to do something, you take it into account, and then usually you end up doing it after all anyway. So just go on with it. His wife, though, intervenes. Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to add, you bring up a good point about Pilate, right? Mm-hmm. Because he struggled,
right,
I think, inwardly. that signifying of him, that washing of the hands at that time really meant, if I'm correct, he was totally cleaning himself of this situation.
Right.
Something along those lines. Last time I looked that up. So he wanted nothing. He wanted to be clear of this.
Right.
And he, if you remember, he says, I find no fault in it. You deal with
right.
it.
Right.
He put it right back on the Jews.
And they, in turn, put it right back on him. And that's what we oftentimes overlook when we discuss the story of Pilate and Jesus, is the remarkable amount of pressure that was on him. And as you mentioned, I mean, he was convinced that Jesus was innocent. But when you have the entire constituency that's volatile, and that time period especially, you have this being, you know, 100 years before the greatest rebellion of the Jews. You have it being 40 years before the rebellion of the Jews that would ultimately lead to the destruction of Jerusalem. You have it being 100 years removed from a time period when Antiochus Epiphanes came through Judea and just completely annihilated. Actually, that'd be 200 years before that. So this region is just ripe with rebellion. And Pilate can almost, when Jesus comes to his plate, he can almost feel that or smell that kind of coming along as well. And so he wants to neutralize the situation as much as humanly possible. When he washes his hands in front of everybody, that's his way of saying, I don't have anything to do with this. This is completely on you. But you do with him whatever it is that you want to do. So you're exactly right on that. That oftentimes gets overlooked. But the Jews want death. His wife intervenes. And then you have this instance, as you mentioned, John chapter 18 and verse 38. When he looks at Jesus, he finds him completely innocent. Why do you think Pilate finds him innocent where the Jews don't? And keep in mind, they want death. That's the sentence that they want for him. I'm sorry? Right, Pilate has nothing to gain. Jesus isn't threatening his status.